Good evening. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of fasting? Do you think of like a day or a couple days of abstaining from something that is particularly hard to do without? To, by your self-control, or, and you're doing this to seek God's direction and guidance in a certain area of your life. I haven't fasted much, but I find it particularly easy to focus on the physical and the spiritual to be a part, but not to be the greater focus. I don't know how it is for you, but I would like to look at the focus of fasting. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 58? Isaiah 58 and just the first 9 verses. It's just an example of a bad example of how we can focus in a fast. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of the fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike the fists of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptance? Acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, the Lord will answer. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." So, as you see, the Israelites here are wondering why the fast. They're fasting, and they're doing everything they think is correct. And they're wondering, like in verse 3 it says, why the Lord has not seen them, why he's not hearing them, and why he's not noticing them. But they're forgetting one key point. And as Isaiah points out, he shows them, they're going through the motions. In verse 5, they're bowing down, they're putting on sackcloth and ashes, and they're doing everything, but they're not doing it in a focus to God. They're doing it for their own good. That's why they're not, the Lord is not seeing them and not hearing them. But in verse 6 and 7, Isaiah talks about a fast with the right focus. It's a freedom to loose the bonds of the wickedness and to take off the heavy burdens. It's a freedom that you can experience when you're focusing on God, when you're fasting. And then God will hear you, and he will direct you your ways. And because of the Israelites' bad focus, it cost them greatly. They lost the connection with God. Think about the focus you have when you fast. Is it on the benefit? Or the act itself? Or is it on God? That's all I have. Moving on to prayer time. Like two or three volunteers to pray. Paul. David. We'll stick with that right now. What are your prayer requests? Lord and Grace. Harvey. Spark. Okay.
Hey, we can pray for the pastors that were part of the teaching seminar in India. The word God was taught can be of use in their daily life. We can go out this week. Or however that applies.
I would say the same for the pastors in Nigeria.
Is that all? All right, let us read over here this list again. Razine, as the adopted or the forever family, is there now in the transition then. Lauren and Grace, is there in El Salvador? Misael, is there returning to El Salvador? Harvey, as he recuperates, the leaders of our country. Spark, the young man's meeting this weekend. The pastors in India as they go into their lives. And the pastors in Nigeria. Let's bow our heads as we pray.
Know you as the only true God and you are Jesus, our Savior.
All right. Do you have any announcements? Well, I guess if you don't have any announcements, that's fine. We'll move directly into the service.
Well, good evening to each one of you. And thank you, Stephen, for that very fitting introduction to our subject tonight. Well, tonight, as we look at this subject of fasting, it's not a subject that I know a lot about. I know more about it now than I did before I started studying for it. And it's not a subject that I have a lot of experience with either. But I do feel it's a very important subject, and we find it, we have direction in God's Word about fasting. Give you just a little bit of an introduction of sort of the what I'm wanting to look at tonight. I'd like to look at different parts of fasting. What is it, and what should be our motivation or our purpose for fasting? And also, what are some blessings and rewards, or side benefits, I guess, side effects from fasting? And what are some things we should be doing while we're fasting? And then, when should we fast? So, if we have time, we'd like to look at all those. And I'd just like to invite your input any time that you have something that you'd like to say. Why, feel free to do that. I'd like to tell you a little bit about where I got quite a bit of my help from. It was from a gentleman by the name of Jensen Franklin. He's an author, a pastor, and I like to consider him a motivational speaker as well. And he has written several books on the subject. He has a DVD or maybe several on the title as well. The title of the book that I was using was called Fasting, as well as the title of the DVD. And, of course, I also got help from other sources and, of course, the Word of God as well. And we want to look at a little bit what God's Word has to say to us about fasting. I'd like to tell you just a little bit more about this Jensen Franklin. He's a pastor of a large congregation in Gainesville, Georgia. I think he has an attendance of about 10,000 in any given week. Has several services on Sundays. And he's been involved with fasting in a number of different ways for a long time. And one of the things that, he started his first fast when he was 19. And I think you'd find it interesting reading some of his material, some of the stories he gives of how God worked through these fasts and some of the miraculous things that took place. Anyway, his church has a fast at the beginning, at the beginning of every year, and it's a 21-day fast. And they ask that everybody participate in some form or another. And for some people, it may be a total fast. For others, it may be, you know, fasting from certain foods. They leave it up to sort of the individual's discretion. But it's been pretty amazing to see what God has done with that group of people because of them honoring one of the things that he commands in the Bible. So just a little background of where I of some of the study helps that I used. Okay. As we get started with this topic, I'd like to look at what is fasting and why should we fast. I sort of think those, in my mind, are synonymous to each other. So I'd like to just hear from you a little bit. What is fasting and why should we do it? What do you think? Joel.
Because I define it as, well, something like a very intentional exercise of discipline. Mm-hmm.
Probably one thing that we all think of is refraining from eating food, or at least sometimes not eating food, but to certain points. But it can be both ways. Okay, David. Very good. Very good. Ali.
Along with that, if we fast for the right reason, is it not good at honoring God?
Mm-hmm.
If we do it for the right purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But like David said,
that's right.
We need to watch that guard against that. That's honoring.
Joy. That's right. And we'll be looking a little bit more at some of those things too. Okay, well, thanks for that. Appreciate that. I would like to, for starters, read a scripture that I think is, to me, feels like a good scripture to go to when we're getting ready for a fast, to sort of prepare ourselves, open ourselves to what God has for us. And that's Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. Matthew 6, 1 through 18. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do it a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I like that scripture. I think it, as we go into a fast, it can help us be mindful of what, of how we should view ourselves and how we should prepare ourselves to be open to what God has for us. I think one of the first things when we look at why we should fast is the motivation for fasting. I think we need to have proper motive for fasting. There have been times when people have fasted with improper motivations. And I think the scriptures actually talk about some of that. And I'd like to look at a few of those that where people fasted with the wrong motive. And then I'd then also like to look at when fasting was used to further God's kingdom. The first one I'd like to look at is in 1 Kings 21. It's when Ahab wanted to have Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth said, no, it's been in my family. I'm not going to give it to you. I won't sell it to you. He reminds me a little bit of acting like a child sometimes. You know, when a child doesn't get their way, they pout and sort of throw a fit. And that's what Ahab did. And then his wife, when she saw what was happening, took things in her own hands, and she actually declared a fast. Let's see, it was she declared a fast and talked to the leaders of the town that Naboth was from, and tried to get them to bring false accusations against Naboth so that he would be able to be killed. And that's what happened. She had, through that, Naboth died or was killed, and Ahab got the vineyard that he wanted. But we see that it was for personal gain that fasting took place here. And then Luke 18 talks about the Pharisee and the publican going to the temple or the synagogue, and how the Pharisee was bragging about how he fasts twice a day and or twice a week, whatever it was there, I'm not quite sure. And even talked about this publican, you know, how talked against him. And we see that God says, you know, the Pharisee was not justified, but the publican went to his house justified, and God forgave him. So here the Pharisee, I'd like to say this. I think humility is a big part in fasting. If we aren't humble when we come to God, God won't hear us. and he won't hear. Well, our fasting means nothing to him. And then the other one I want to look at is one time when Paul came to Jerusalem to visit James. Some Jews from Asia recognized him and started a riot in the town against Paul, and it says that the whole city was in an uproar, and they took Paul and probably would have killed him if the commander of the army and his soldiers wouldn't have intervened and actually arrested him. But Paul still, just before they put him in prison, he said, "I'd like to say something." And then he gave his testimony and caused another uproar. And through that whole process, the city, or there were over 40 Jews that decided, okay, we've had enough of this man. We are going to declare a fast that we're not going to eat or drink until Paul is killed. And, you know, so here again, these people were trying to use a fast to try to manipulate God or manipulate people into making things happen the way they wanted them to. Okay, now I'd like to look at a couple times in the Bible where the people fasted or a person fasted and what the outcome was then. And this was done in a positive manner. First of all, I'd like to look at Nehemiah when he heard how the Jews that had escaped from the from captivity were in distress, and how the city walls had been broken down and so forth. And I'd like to just read the first four verses of Nehemiah 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chisli, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before God of heaven. And I think it's just miraculous how, through Nehemiah's fasting, God, like the Bible says, the people were inspired and they had a mind to work. And how in 52 days, in spite of the attacks from the enemy and the enemy wanting to hinder the work, how in 52 days they completed a huge project like this, rebuilding that wall, and how God made himself known by one man spending time in fasting and prayer. And we see in Daniel how that in Daniel 1, how that the king wanted Daniel and his three friends and to be a part of another group of men that were chosen, sort of the elite, best looking, no flaws, I think it talks about, in these people. And Daniel and his three friends were part of that group, and how they were supposed to, for 3 years, eat and drink of the king's meat and wine. And how Daniel said, "No, I'm not going to defile myself with the food from the king." And how they chose then, Daniel and his three friends asked if they could do a test for 10 days to see if the food that they eat would, you know, and compared to the men that ate the king's food, how they would compare. And so they did that. And Daniel and his three friends, of course, were, they just looked better overall. And so through that, God did his work. And we see that Daniel and his three friends, I like to consider it sort of as a fast. They went on a vegetable and water only diet, and how God used them. And it says that God blessed these four with knowledge, skill in all literature, and wisdom. And we know Daniel was given a special blessing of having the ability to understand dreams and visions. So, and one other one I don't want to forget, and that is how Esther, when the decree was given or signed that all the Jews were to be killed, how when she found out about this, she told her people, or she sent word back to Mordecai saying, call all the Jews together and fast for 3 days and nights, and don't eat or drink anything during that time, and then she will go to the king. And how God worked through this. And there's many more illustrations in the Bible how God used fasting, and when people were willing to fast, how God used them to do what he wanted. I'd just like to open it up. Any comments or anything that any of you have to say? Paul.
Does it seem like in these examples, these people were facing some pretty difficult situations?
That's right.
Which maybe even took away their desire to do it almost.
I think that's right. And I think especially in the last three illustrations that we looked at, it just proves how God uses that, honors that. I think the main goal for fasting is to have we want to have a closer relationship with God. And we want to be loose from the bondages of sin. And it's a time for God to draw near to us. And it's a time to allow God to do in our lives what he wants to do in every area and circumstance that we face. A few questions I want to ask. You know, do we want God's blessings on our family? Do we want his help when facing circumstances too big for us to handle? And do we want to keep from making same mistakes that we, or from making the same mistake over and over again? And if we need his protection and wisdom and healing, I think the answer to that would be yes to all of those. And so fasting is a good way for us and for God to communicate and to have his blessing on our lives. Fasting is not just abstaining from food, like was mentioned earlier. It is to, it can be abstaining from other things too. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But it's to gain rewards. The Bible promises rewards to those who fast. The reward is the solution we seek for a specific need we are fasting about. It is the healing and deliverance we desire and are asking for through fasting. In the Bible, we see, like we looked at, how God rewarded fasts with what they were scripturally asking for. And if our motives are right and we are fasting for scriptural reasons, God will reward our fasts as well. And I was blessed with the scripture that Stephen read this evening from Isaiah 58. I think especially in verses 8 through 12, I believe it is, God in there, or Isaiah, says what God will do for us. You know, in the first part, if we fast in the proper way that God wants us to, you know, He will free us. He will release us from the many bondages around us. And some of those bondages can be, you know, ancestral sins. They can be addictions. They can be wrong music. Just a lot of different things, bad habits. Sometimes looking at things, you know, that we shouldn't be, reading things that aren't good for us. Those can all be bondages for us, and God wants us to be free of those. And then He goes on and tells us, you know, what we will become, different things that He will do for us, different things that He will be for us in that chapter. So if you get a chance sometime, just read that whole chapter. I think it'll be a blessing for you. You know, we are God's children, and we don't have to be bound by these things that it talks about that He will release us from. We don't have to be bound to sin. If we are His children, we as His children aren't free in Christ, who will He be able to use to further His kingdom if we don't do that for Him? God wants His children to be free from sin, the weights that hinder us from being His servants and doing His will. He wants us to be free of those. If we, His children, are not going to do what He wants, who's God going to use? And I'd just like to challenge us. You know, we need to be those people that, like when Nehemiah was building the wall, different people had different parts, had the responsibility of building the different parts of that wall. And so we need to fill in those gaps and be the people God wants us to be. Okay, I'd like to look a little bit now at blessings and rewards from fasting. Anything you think of that could be a blessing or a reward as a result of fasting. Go ahead, Daryl.
I can understand the health benefits of fasting. One of the things I don't speak from experience here, so I have very little experience. But I think perhaps the biggest benefit is that we become more spiritually alert.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
We are spiritual beings trapped in a physical body. Mm-hmm. We let our body, like Joel was saying, when we apply discipline specifically for the purpose of freeing our spirit from our body, I think there's pretty serious benefits.
That's right. That's right. One term that I came across was fasting is sort of like a shower on our spiritual bodies. Hand back there, Paul.
But when I have tried to continue to work
Thank you. Joel.
This might bridge the whole back to the why question, but for me, I think a lot of my life, I sort of asked the question why, and thought there probably isn't much reason. It seems like a Christian form of magic. But I was thinking that maybe fasting is a little like the Old Testament sacrifices or like prayer, in that we want to open ourselves to God, to reach out, but we don't really know how to reach out. And so prayer is one concrete thing we do. For ourselves and to God.
That's right.
And I think maybe fasting is another concrete thing. Maybe it doesn't have a lot of inherent value, but it somehow orients us toward God. Mm-hmm. And I think in that connection comes the blessing that various people have alluded to, that there is transformation in that connection.
That's right. Dwight. Very good. Did I see another hand? Marvin. Well, you're bringing out a lot of the same points that I have, and I think that's the main purpose for fasting, is to be able to receive from God. It makes us more alert, it gives us clearer minds, and it draws us closer to God. And something else I think it does is, I know sometimes it feels like I ask God for something, or I'm wanting to hear from God, and it feels like it takes a long time sometimes to get that answer. And I think through fasting, God may be able to reveal himself to us quicker. And a lot of that has to do with us. We're able to understand and hear what God has to say better. Perry.
There's a sister in our church that tried fasting, and she couldn't take it. She had some kind of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And this book that I referred to said that a person should have a doctor, see a doctor to be sure,
sure,
that it would work for that person. But it's very important that you, I felt that you keep on drinking water.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Ollie.
Something that I think would be good to bring up is something I don't like to, in a sense, but the part that I do like to bring up is the freedom we've had in this country. This could change. Mm-hmm. And if it ever changed, I would imagine we'd learn sooner what fasting means than what we do now. For example, suppose there would be a draft, a new alternative. fasting, we do have a program now that would suffice for all kinds of people. But depending on what would happen, this could change. I think that we need to think of things like this when we think about fasting. But it could really mean something to us.
That's right.
How do we feel on things like that?
Okay.
Well, I think that it has its place, but I think we ought to also be careful that we don't just take that as a twisting God's arm.
That's right. That's right. We don't want to be using this fast to try to tell God what to do. That's right. Hand back here. Julian.
I'm intrigued by some of what Joel said, because as I think of prayer, I think of, well, God knows my thoughts, He knows everything I'm going to say, and yet there's something about me reaching out in prayer that He wants us to do, and I see fasting a lot the same way. It feels to me like it's a sign that I am serious about my relationship
right.
with God.
Nathan. Good point. Perry.
One of the leaders in the church here asked seriously, what are we doing wrong? Why can't we come through with this? And I have thought maybe we should be having prayer groups. But with that in mind.
It's a good point. I think that's what God wants us to do, is to intercede for each other. Praying for or fasting for other people is definitely a part of fasting. I think I'll give a illustration toward the end then of how that one man fasting for his children and his future generations made an impact on the world. But I think, yes, definitely, that is part of the whole thing of fasting, is praying for or fasting for others. Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Allie. Along with this, what always said, I like what it says, what you read,
That's right. Okay. All right. I'd like to then keep going here. What are some, we've touched on different things already that I want to look at. But I'd just like to ask is, what are some things that we can do while we're fasting to help with this whole process that we're looking at? For instance, I think one of the things, one of the big things we need to do is spend extra time in God's Word. I think there's times where I may not understand completely what I'm reading, but if I am willing to just search the Scriptures, still read God's Word, even if I don't understand it, God will do a work in us that will give us that understanding, I think, in due time. But I think it needs to be more than just like our daily devotions and so on, but spend extra time in God's Word. That's one of the things. And then also, I think one of the other big things that was alluded to earlier is separating ourselves from things that don't necessarily draw us to God, may not be things that draw us, that have to draw us away from God, but they can. For instance, I think it's a way that we pretty quickly learn how dependent we are on things. I think things such as maybe the internet, Facebook, there's a whole list of things that we could name that we could fast from. And because when we fast, we are opening our spirit up, and we want to be very careful what we fill that with, because we can fill it with negative things as well as positive. So making this be a time of filling our spirit with things that will draw us closer to God is very important. So separating ourselves from things that could hinder that. Was there a hand back there? Okay. So those are some of the things I think of. I think one of the other things we need to think about and do is confess and acknowledge the power of God over our families, over our health, over our jobs, our finances. Acknowledge this as a gift from God. And it's things that God has blessed us with. So I think that's something we need to be doing. And also then, I think it needs to be a time that we open ourselves to God, confess our sins, ask God to remind us of things that need to be, that we need to correct or whatever. Maybe we've had attitudes towards some people that we shouldn't have had. Maybe, for young people, maybe we've felt a little rebellious, maybe haven't been as obedient or had the respect for our parents that we should have had. And maybe we've said unkind words. It's just a time that we open ourselves to God to ask Him to reveal things to us, to cleanse our lives. God wants us to do that. And then one other thing that I just want to mention is assembling ourselves together. I think this is especially something that is good to do when we might have more of a corporate fast time of fasting. Do it more as small groups or even as a larger group. And I'd like to make a recommendation that we consider this as a church to do this together. I think we might be surprised and amazed at what God would have for us by deciding to do that as a group. And I think it's good to have people we can contact or people we can call when we may be feeling a struggle, or when maybe we have that Big Mac attack, you know, because I think hunger is a big part, at least in the starting phases of a fast. And we can call somebody and say, hey, I'm being tempted to eat food, or, you know, I'm being tempted with this or that. And we can have them help us or pray for us through this time. So that's just some of the many things that that I think of that we can be doing to help strengthen our fast. And things, yeah, and so on. So what else? Any other comments any of you would have? Harry.
Mm-hmm. First days, mm-hmm. Because that can be very detrimental.
That's right. Yeah, it is. It's highly recommended that if you're considering going on a fast, that you make sure you're in good health. You know, and maybe fasting for that person is different. Maybe it's abstaining from certain foods. You know, not food in not total food fast. One thing I did want to talk about a little bit is. When we were talking about what are some of the rewards or blessings that come from fasting, there are health benefits that do come from fasting. Some of the things that I'll just name that have actually been proven to that fasting does help it. It has been proven to help that it will help lower bad cholesterol. It helps lower blood pressure. And, of course, it can help us lose weight. But I don't think that should be necessarily the number one reason for us to fast. And it also, they claim, helps slow down the aging process. I thought that was one that I'd sort of be interested in. And I would imagine there's more of us that are. One other thing that it does, after a person's been fasting for a couple days, your body, you know, usually your body depends on carbohydrates and things like that to get its energy and its strength from. But now this is just some doctors talking about this, and they claim that after you've been fasting for a couple days, your body enters or goes into what is called ketosis. And that is when the body runs out of carbohydrates, it starts burning fat. And fat is where a lot of the toxins that our bodies store or accumulate over time, that's where they're stored. So when it starts to burn up some of that fat, it automatically starts helping to cleanse our body as well by getting rid of those toxins. So it does help purify our body through this process. And I just want to read a little bit of something here that I thought might be interesting to you. And this is written by Dr. Furman. He's a medical doctor. And he says, there are hundreds of studies showing that when animals are fed fewer calories, they live longer. Studies on animals ranging from earthworms to monkeys have shown that alternating cycles of fasting and very calorie-restricted diets is a reliable way to extend the lifespan. The excess calories Americans eat shorten their lives. If you want to live longer, eat healthy and fast periodically. And then he says, the time may come when not offering this substantially more effective nutritional approach will be considered malpractice. And I think he's referring to the thing of fasting and watching our diets and stuff. So just point of interest there. Okay. Quickly, I'd just like to look at yet, when should we fast? What would be, what things in life would be a good a motivator for us to fast? Maybe to get us started, I'll just mention one. I think for one thing, when we're facing a big task or are given a big responsibility or a big job, that's a good time to be looking at fasting. And for me, this topic would fit that bill, you know, big job. So fasting was actually part of the study process of preparing for this topic this evening. So that's one thing, one reason for a person to consider fasting. What might be some ideas that any of you would have? David? Okay, sure. All right, so you're giving the example of when you're looking at making a major decision. Okay? All right, Paul. That's correct. That's correct. All right. And I think when we're looking at, when we're in the face of danger or we're looking at something in the future that we're uncertain about, say for instance, maybe for someone it might be facing surgery, you know, a time of uncertainty. For others, someone else, it may be going on the mission field. You know, those are things that would be good things to fast about. Another one is fasting for the growth of the church. I think God wants us to fast for that so that we can become fruitful orchards for God. And something else I think about is I think fasting for the situation that we see here in the world today, you know, how there's so much corruption, how there's, you know, when you think of using our tax dollars to fund abortions, how we hear so much from the gay societies and stuff, and how there's so much homosexuality around us, just so much around us that, you know, sometimes can tend to feel pretty discouraging. I think it's important that we fast for the world, for the, you know, especially for where we live at, that God can somehow through that, he can do things we never dream of could happen. But, you know, he sees the big picture. And I think fasting is a powerful tool that God has given to us. And then, again, like was mentioned earlier, fasting for other people. You know, there may be, sometime God may lay on your heart to fast for a certain person. And it could be for that person's salvation. It could be that God has a work for that person to do. We don't know what it is, but it's our job to do what God asks of us. So, you know, if we are prompted by God to fast for someone, then I think we better do that. And I'd like to give you an illustration of a person that did this. It's a man by the name of George McCluskey, and some of you may know this story. If you do, just bear with me on it, and I think there's probably different different versions of this story, and I'm going to give the one that I heard first. There was a man by the name of George McCluskey. At one point, God laid on his heart that he should fast for his children. So he decided every day at lunch he was going to fast for his family. And he had two daughters as children, and they grew up, and both of them married pastors, or their husbands went into the ministry. Okay, then these two girls had, between the two of them, had four girls and two boys. Each of the girls married a minister, and each of the boys became a minister. The first two children born from, which would be now the grandchildren, were boys. And this would be the third generation now. One of these boys went on to be a minister, but the other one didn't want to be a minister. He was he wanted to pursue some schooling in psychology. And so he did, and he got his doctorate's degree, and then he also wrote books, and he especially wrote one about parenting, and he's written many books over the years, and we all know this person as Dr. James Dobson. And so we see that one man, which would have been the great-grandfather of Dr. James Dobson, had felt like he was supposed to take time to fast for his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. And we see how God worked through each generation and how they were faithful to what God called them to do. So I feel if God prompts us to fast for others, we better do it, because we don't know what God has planned for that person. God sees the big picture. So I guess in conclusion, I'd just like to say what I've said tonight, I say to myself, first of all. And I think God has given us a special tool for us to use to become more like him and to understand more fully what his will is for us. And so let's make sure that we have this tool as part of our spiritual toolbox. Any other comments anyone else has that they'd like to make? Thanks for your help.